Welcome to Friendly Competition, a podcast to discover the best of all time. I'm Nick Carey, alongside my co-host and best friend Cody Lena. We discuss various pop culture topics and narrow down to truly the best of all time.
Or as we like to call it, the boat. But before we get set foot on the boat, we put everything into a Sweet 16 style tournament. We argue each round until we decide a winner. Nick, what criteria do we use when we decide to step foot on the boat?
Whatever the hell we want. Cody, you want to tell them what we're talking about this season?
Absolutely. We are talking about modern fears. We've transcended. We killed the Shadow Man. Me and Nick did it. You guys can stop worrying about the Shadow Man. He's dead. Night Vulture, still around, but keep doing your push-ups. You'll be fine. So now that it's only the Night Vulture, every modern thing that you should be afraid of is dead at the hands of Nick and I. No more vampires, no more werewolves, no more Shadow Men. So now we get to be afraid of just fun stuff. We get to get some of those quirky, kooky little fears that'll make you really stand out at your next little party with all your hip friends, you know?
Yeah, you know your fear parties where you go there and you tell each other like, hey, what are you afraid of? What's your little niche fear? Honestly, some of these sound like rich people just wanting to have a personality. To be fair,
really do.
How dumb some of these phobias are. We're talking about silly phobias, folks. And some of these you're like, are you actually afraid of that? Like in a genuine way, or are you just trying to have a personality? You know what I'm saying? So, folks, here we are in Group C, meaning Group A and B already happened. Go listen to those. But we went to ChatGPT. We said, give us your 16 silliest fears. It gave us a list. We gave it to the bracketologist. And here we are in Group C, where we have the 2 seed, pelidophobia, the fear of bald people or balding. The 15 seed going up against nomophobia.
6.
Which is the fear of being without your mobile phone coverage or access to one's phone. And then we also have the matchup with 7 seed omphalophobia, which is the fear of belly buttons, going up against the 10 seed hexacosiohexacontahexaphobia. That was 100% perfect, and I'm not doing it again.
You don't need to. You nailed it. I'll just copy that.
I'll
put that to the set. I'll put it on a soundboard and we'll just hit that every time.
Boom. That is the fear of the number 666. Cody, where do you want to start?
Let's start with the belly buttons and the 666. Since we're already in that space and we don't want to have to repronounce the word before people forget about it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's wild. Okay.
Yeah.
Omphalophobia. I get the fear of belly button. You remember the Matrix when they put that thing in his belly button and then they suck it out the belly button? I totally understand that fear. Sometimes I just look at my belly button and I want to like explore the space, but I'm afraid.
You're almost like, is that the easiest way to get inside of my body? The amount of surgeries that they do through the belly button, they're like, oh, we'll just start there. Yeah. I'm like, why is this a front side butthole that we're not talking about? Like, it's a tight one. It's real tight and not a lot gets out. But we can, if we play with it a little bit, if we spend a little time on it, we can get up there pretty easy, actually. Like, yeah, I don't like that.
I don't like it at all.
Dude, can I ask, this is a real question. This is a personal question. We can cut this and no one has to know.
Okay.
What's your belly button lint situation?
Mine's low. It used to be big, but it's not anymore.
Dog, I kid every single day.
It's because you're such a hairy man, dude. It pulls it all to the center.
I don't understand it, though. When you watch videos of how lint works, it literally is your body's hair scraping cotton, and then that cotton rolls down your happy trail and gathers in your belly button. Folks, I'm not kidding you when I tell you every day I pull out about a dime size. Not like thickness, but in circumference of lint every day.
I will tell you for the record that I don't have to pull lint out of my belly button ever.
What? That's not fair.
If I find lint in my belly button, it's like, oh, hey, look at that.
Then explain God to me. Explain your God. Who did this? Why would you make models so different? One of us is right. One of us, our bodies is running the exact way it's supposed to run. And the other one is an abomination. And I don't understand if there's a God. So I'm just Catholics, Christians, Hindu. I don't think you have a God fully.
Also,
Why your God chose to do this.
Nick, this might be the most ignorant thing I've ever said. All right. Okay. And I don't understand it. Okay. So like when I'm in the tank, I'm plugged in through the hole, straight to mom, right? And she's giving me all her good juice that I need to thrive.
Yeah.
When I come out, they cut that, so now I'm free.
Yes.
If I am older and I need juice because I'm sick or I have a bad diet or something, can we just plug, not back to mom, but why don't we make an artificial thing that we can just plug in there and give me the juice?
Just put the good juice back in.
Good juice back in. Why are we making it so hard? Why do we have to do it? Like, it's right there. We have a plug.
Right.
Use it.
Plug me in, doc. Use the outlet. I have the female receiver for the outlet. Plug your outlet. Plug in the male receiver. Hey, you want to know something that's disgusting and I never want to think about again? Is an innie and an outie fucking. That's awful. That's enough to give me the fear right there. If I watch that video, I'd be like, stop, please don't do this. Have we tortured people with that? Because I think we'd get answers so much quicker than waterboarding. If it's like, no, watch these two. This is an outie belly button and this is an innie. And they're going to have sex with each other.
I don't like that at all. Hexaphobia is nothing. The fear of 666.
Dude,
of the beast.
How dare you say nothing. This is nothing? I lived this, okay? I lived this. Oh my God. When I was a youth and I was a Left Behind kid, right? Like, you know that. I read the book series Left Behind. And so I was always worried about the return of the beast, right? I was on top of any
conspiracy theory, anything out there.
Rapture. So I was terrified of the rapture, dude. And so that meant because you're terrified of the rapture. Oh, it is wild to me that the Bible called out a number, though. Like, that's the thing. That's the part that's so wild, is that the Bible is like, hey, by the way, 3 sixes together, terrible. Terrible, terrible, bad, bad. Because it also doesn't give you winning lottery numbers.
Just losing one.
Like, give us some good luck numbers too, though. If you're going to sit there and give me bad news, at least a fortune cookie has the fucking decency to put in that week's lotto numbers too. Yeah. Into my fortune.
I understand that. Nick, here's my thing about the number and why we shouldn't be afraid of it at all. Every civilization before and every civilization since will give us a date or a number where everything's supposed to go to shit. And we've passed a billion of them at this point, and no one's called it. So yeah. I'm just going to say your numbers don't add up. You know, it does add up.
You remember?
This belly button.
Hey, my guy, though, what were you doing on June 6, 2006? Do you remember?
No.
That day? You weren't a little on edge that, like, you don't have a memory of that day. I did kind of spit in God's face. I did go to The Omen because they released the remake of The Omen. So I did go to that with some friends. And I just remember, though, like, until it passed 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, because that's when the God would have taken society. Mountain Standard, because I was back home.
That's what we're in. So,
he obviously
goes with whatever time zone I'm in.
I'm in. So once it passed 6:06 p.m., I was like, oh, this probably isn't real. And that is when my fear went away. I was like, man, hey, big guy, this is like the best day. Like, if you want to make a statement about it, at least drop like a natural disaster, drop the next track, like drop another 10 commandments on us. Like, at least give us something.
Here's another thing. If he's going to drop his newest mix on that day, he's going to drop it in Jerusalem. So I'll have time to assess the situation before it gets to me.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's fair. I mean, Mountain Standard.
I got to lock in belly button time because that shit, I'm uncomfortable of thinking about it. So
that's
It's working.
That's fair. I also drove my license plate number, because when you get a license plate, when you ask to have it mailed to you, I've learned they save the 666s for that. So like, I had a 666 license plate for many years. No accidents. Funny enough, zero accidents with the 666. So at that point, I'm like, I ain't the devil. So yeah, I'm with you here. Let's move on. Belly buttons. Where it will go up against pelitophobia, the fear of bald or being bald, against 15 seed nomophobia, the fear of losing cell reception or access to your phone. Now, the fear of losing access to your phone, fine. I would like to focus on cell service. Just being afraid of getting out of range. Because also, let's be clear about something on a timeline. Like, cell phone coverage for the longest time was ass.
Mm-hmm.
It's just gotten to pretty full coverage, like in the United States specifically, where you can kind of be anywhere within the country and still likely have a cell phone signal, right? Except for like pockets of like Utah, Wyoming, Montana, those bigger spaces. I'm saying I can go out to my grandma's house in the middle of fucking nowhere, North Dakota, and get 5G. So we're doing pretty good. So how long were you having this phobia, though?
Maybe I think this is not a fear of the phone and not having service, Nick. It's a fear of finally being free. Finally being left the shackles, being unshackled, untethered to this mortal coil of capitalism that we all have given into.
And that finally for what? Because
even if it's just a brief few fleeting moments that you're without signal, you're truly free and your body can't handle it. Your body cannot handle the freedom.
I would say too, I think you have a point, because anytime people go on some kind of like wellness retreat or like just something happens where maybe you forgot to charge your phone, so like the rest of the day you're without your phone, there is always that moment where you're kind of like, oh yeah, once I just couldn't have access to it, I just didn't care. It's almost like none of this shit, none of these likes, none of these DMs, none of these advertisements, none of these push notifications actually matter more than being here, present, in this moment with the people in front of me. It's awesome. On the other flip side of that, though, is if it happens and I'm by myself, then I do have to be alone with my own thoughts. And as we've discussed, that is the biggest fear.
That is
number one fear, my own brain.
What's going on up there? Let's dig around. No, thank you. Here's the thing. I'm thinking about pelotophobia, right? Is that the bald one? Yes.
Yep.
I like to think, I see these people with their comb overs and they're doing everything that they can to hide their bald. And I think, like, just embrace it, you know, just give in to the fact that you're bald and shave it. But then I think about myself and I like to think I would do that, but I got this perfect head of hair over here. It's strong.
It's kind of tough.
Powerful. And like, I don't know, man, I might hold on to every fucking inch, you know?
It might be
a battle. I might be playing red zone defense against this hair loss, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I hear you. And there's something to be said if I go and get my hair cut and my barber starts to be like, hey, it's kind of getting a little thinner than usual. And that's like, hey, I could take some pills, I could take some shampoos, and we can try to fight it that way. That I think I would do 100%. But like, it really is the holding on instead of just accepting fate, right?
Yeah.
That's the part where... Because as a man with gorgeous head of hair, when I see the men who are holding on, I'm like, you're sad, you're weak, you're pathetic. But then I look at the men who cut it all off and I'm like, you're brave, you're bold. I like your stance.
Maybe.
So like, well, you got to just flip that mindset. Just.
No, I think we're wrong. What if you're not afraid of going bald? What if you're afraid that every bald person is a member of a secret cabal? We just watched John Wick 3. And what I learned from John Wick 3 is that every person in the city of New York is a professional secret assassin.
Yep.
Now, I think that's ridiculous. Obviously, it's a movie, and that's insane. But what I am saying is every bald person is a secret assassin. What if that's true? We don't know. Nick, we're the last people they would tell about the secret bald cabal.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah, we're not in it. That's for sure, because this is thick hair. Well,
this
I
is
mean,
thick,
from the standpoint...
sexy, luxurious.
If I'm an assassin, right, I don't want to be leaving detritus around.
Yeah.
Like, this is evidence. All of this beautiful, magnificent hair, they would find one follicle of my beautiful locks and be like, it was a very sexy man with great hair that did this. And we'd have to go find him.
Like, and he's already narrowed it down to 1% of the population. Because the look is good and have hair as luscious as Nick in the eye, that is a feat.
So I'm going to get caught quickly, you know? So it's like, no, I got to be bald. I got to have no hair. I mean, also why I won't become an assassin, because I can't. I need these locks.
All right. What if, okay, so now that we have agreed that if you're bald, you're an assassin. What if they're not afraid of going bald because they don't love their hair? What if they're afraid that they see the hair going and they know that they're going to have to spill human blood? It's not a choice.
Okay.
They don't get to pick to be an assassin. Once you're chosen into this fraternity of men who kill for sport, you don't have a choice.
No, that's fair. But can I ask you another question, Cody?
Yeah.
I want to go back to a game we've already played with beards.
Okay.
Can you give me now we're going to play a little different. The coolest and the lamest bald people. Because I'm going to be honest here. Coolest, I mean, you got Mr. Clean. You got Vin Diesel. You've got a few Michael Jordan.
Bruce Willis, dude. Die hard.
Bruce Willis. Like, we've got cool bald guys. Lame bald. And I'm not talking with any hair. I'm talking full.
Howie Mandel.
Thank you. Okay, I did need one. Okay, there is. Okay, so on one side of it, you could be Vin Diesel, Michael Jordan. On the other side, Howie Mandel. Not great, but you are a host on America's Got Talent.
Yeah, that's fair.
Even though you have lacked any for decades. You got to do Deal or No Deal. That would have been fun.
I think actually what we did realize is the best bald person is probably Steve Harvey.
He's crushing. Yeah. What a great bald experience. So I'm just saying, if this is your fear.
You can't look at Steve Harvey and be scared. You can't do it.
No, just walk into the Steve Harvey light. That's his pearly whites, his teeth. Look into them and follow. And then take it off. Just go. Your life will be better. I will say, my barber even said this. She's like, any man who's feared balding, once they shave it off, immediately is like, the fuck was I doing? What was I holding on to? Like, I look younger now than I did when I was holding on to my hair that was clearly leaving. I look younger. I'm no longer. It's not the constant fear nagging at me.
Yeah.
So
now
it's like
you need to kill for sport, but well, other than that, yeah.
But other than that,
it's normal stuff.
It's average day for me. I think it's tough because I don't. It's hard for me to fear bald. I mean, I guess maybe on some level I do fear it, though, right? Maybe that's why I'm trying to dance around it. Because I can't. My wife would leave me.
I'm locking in balding, dude. This empire is built on a foundation of sand, Nick. And it is our beautiful hair. Everything we have here.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you think if we lost our hair, do you think we'd do this podcast? No way.
It would be tough because my wife would leave me and take the house.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to look at your ugly ass every day while we talk about stuff.
Cody, my wife has said this before too. She's always said, like, in a world where if something happened, she had to lose her hair. She's like, I'm not going to be like a brave, bald woman. She's like, I'm getting wigs so fast.
Yeah.
Are you on that tip? Because I think I am. I think I'm immediately on that wig tip. Like,
I'd have to ride it out. I might go just hats, beanies, maybe.
Okay. That's always sad. Then when that hat does come off and we realize it was to hide your shame.
I would still be all bald.
Oh, you're saying you'd go all. Oh, okay. You'd be all bald, but you think that you would wear a hat or something. Like, everyone knows you're bald, but you like to keep a hat on.
Yeah.
But not at the dinner table. What are you going to do? Got to take the hat off at the dinner table.
So I'm going to put stew on top of my head. Just let him sit up there.
Your cat covers you up and got your back.
He'll love it. He'd love it. Are you kidding me? He'd be crazy about it.
He'd love it. I'm looking at
the bald one just because I don't want to spill the blood of innocence. And I get it. You have to sign up.
Yeah, I'm with you. So bald versus belly button.
Oh, God.
Bald versus belly button.
Nick, I'm going to be honest. When we were talking about the belly button, it's the only time in all of these fears. I'm talking about the first season of fears we did where they were legitimate.
Yep.
Where I felt uncomfortable. I did not enjoy the conversation. It was not pleasant. And I'm back in that space. I'm uncomfortable again. I'm unpleasant.
Yep.
Which makes me think that there's something with these belly buttons that the government doesn't want us to know.
It does have the sense of like, the longer I take to think about it, that's the problem. Because every day I think about my belly button for about 2 seconds. And that's when I take my shirt off to like go in the shower or go to bed. I have to look down at my belly button to see how much lint it collected. And so like that's, I think about it and I think, God damn it. And I throw it away. But the fact that I have spent now at least 5 minutes mentally in belly button land, it is because now they all look different.
Here's the thing. This is why I'm thinking this, Nick, is the belt. They say it's because that's where the umbilical cord was hooked up to us.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. But like, what if it's where they plugged in us to the machine?
Sure.
And that's why it looks different because they pulled out the machine and that's how everyone heals differently.
Because
when I think about being plugged into the matrix, yeah, I think about the thing in the back of their head. Oh my God. Yeah. That looks so, that makes sense. Does it? No, it doesn't. They plug you in the stomach.
Can I ask you? I don't want to tear this down and break this down for you, but so could you explain pregnancy then if the government's the one hooking us up to the machine?
Oh, absolutely.
All these pregnant women?
Yeah, paid crisis actors. Have you ever seen wife pregnant?
I have not. No. And I mean, that's, well, you know, Yeah, no, I think, yeah, no, please go down this. No, because I've actually been thinking that we need this Alex Jones publicity. I've been thinking this. Yes.
I think every pregnant woman on the planet is a paid crisis actor, Nick. What do you not understand about this?
No, I agree.
Oh my God. No. Okay. Obviously, that was a joke. They're not crisis actors because we know people have gotten pregnant. But every time you're pregnant, you have to go to the doctor for your checkups.
Okay.
What if they're just putting the baby in there? What if they're putting the machine in you?
Wait, so this is like, are they doing this at random? Or is it like, did you have to get pregnant? You go to the doctor, like, I'm pregnant. And they're like, sure you are. And then they insert.
I'm saying every pregnancy test that you buy does not actually check if you are pregnant.
Oh, it's just a random lottery.
It's just random lottery.
It's a random lottery. So once you get one, that is a, there's like, for every like 1,000 they put out that are no's, there's one yes. So you go, you pee on the, you get a yes stick.
Yes.
And then you go to the doctor and you say, hey doc, I got a yes stick. Exactly. And the doctor's like, well, you're a little young, but I guess this is what we got to do.
Exactly. And then they put the machine inside of you that creates the baby, but the machine's plugged into the matrix. What is not to understand about this?
Yeah, no. So we do, well, so then all doctors are Smiths.
All doctors are paid crisis actors.
Okay. So all of them, because then they would have to know about the Matrix, right? So in theory, they would have to be.
Yeah. Doctors are Mr. Smiths.
Are Smiths, because they understand how the Matrix works and that this is how they make the Matrix happen.
Yeah.
What
I don't. What are you laughing about? I'm not joking anymore.
That people believe this stuff, Cody. That's what I'm laughing about. Is that you came up with something that I swear to God, if I looked it up right now, people would follow this. If we posted this, like a Friends episode without the laugh track, right? People would just hear it and be like, if you and I were just serious, full tone, locked it in, no giggles, and we're like, no, the government. What happens is there's a fat for every 1,000. Pregnancy test, they put in one that is a yes. And what is intended to happen is that whoever draws a yes goes into a doctor, quote unquote, it's a Smith. And this Smith, their job is to insert into you the machine, right? It's a self-replicating machine that will grow a child inside of you. That's what the placenta is. It's an organic computer that's downloading the information. Like,
yes.
Yeah, yes!
You fucking get it, dude!
Like, it pisses me off because that makes more sense to someone's brain than just sperm, egg, done.
Sperm, egg, done. Can't do
They're like,
dude.
No, sorry, I'm having troubles. But these guys on this Nick, friendly competition podcast.
How far down does the rabbit hole go? We will show you, is what I'm trying
to say. We are here to give you the news.
Yeah, so I'm walking in the omphalophobia, because I get it. Also,
omphalophobia.
If I don't have my mobile phone or my coverage, again, I'm truly free. I've transcended. This is
it's balding. Sorry, I wrote the wrong one.
You did. That's why I was confused, but yeah. I'm back. I'm not going to go bald. I don't have that fear.
I'm not going to go bald. The Lord ordains only so many of us, and I know I'm chosen.
Some men like me are just built different.
Yeah, just got that dog in them. That hairy, shaggy dog.
If you looked at an x-ray of a woman who was pregnant, you would see a machine growing in her.
Those x-rays you are seeing, those are fabricated AI generated images.
I'm saying if you could see a real x-ray, you would see the machine. Yep. If you could see the real x-ray of me, you see that dog in me. So I got to lock in omphalophobia, the belly button one. I don't know where you're at, but that's where I'm at.
It's tough because there is, the longer I think about belly buttons, the more I hate it. I genuinely don't want to be here anymore.
No,
but
I don't.
I do. But if it's like, created. See, this feels kind of fucked up. I'm wondering if I had to look at 100 images successively of belly buttons or balding people. Which one would I be more grossed out by?
Belly buttons, 100%, dude.
It's got to be belly buttons.
Every person on earth has something beautiful about them, in their eyes, their spirit, you know, something. Everyone has a feature that you can latch onto and appreciate, except the belly button. There's nothing there.
Oh, and then if you are a belly button person, I don't want to meet you.
I don't want, I'm sorry.
I am not there, actually.
You can keep listening to the show, but do not write us. Do not send us an email.
Yeah, I can't be in the same world with you, dog. You gotta go. You got to go.
What if someone was listening to our show and what you just said made it so they couldn't finish? Like, they were loving it. They were like, oh, it's belly button on belly button action here at Friendly Competition. But and then now you they're like, they walked into getting kink shamed right at the end.
Aw, man. No, I'm fine. I'm okay. I know a lot of times we walk our statements back and we try to be progressive and we've said for people who like piss play, we're like, go for it. Blood play, you got to do your own thing, man. Like, it's not my job to judge you. Belly buttons, no. I give you will not come and find redemption in this house. You will not find salvation. You will not find forgiveness. You will be judged as you should be. I will not call you names.
Harsh.
I will not disparage you.
I will.
I'm just saying there will be no forgiveness offered
none.
In this house.
No quarter.
No quarter given.
None.
Sir.
On site, you sick fucks. Yeah. All right, I'm walking. Are you in belly button town with me?
Yeah, I'm in belly. I don't want to be, and I really hope we can get out of here. I don't want to bring belly button town to the boat, but I think we got to at least talk about it. So there we are, folks. I'm Fallout Phobia going into the final four as the Group C champion. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Friendly Competition. If you want to about your boys, a few things that you can do, as always, share with a friend, tell a friend. River listening to this, make sure you hit that like, that follow, that subscribe, and give us those 5 stars wherever you can.
Absolutely. Follow us on all of our social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Just look up at Friendly Comp Pod. If you have an idea for a whole 16-team tournament you'd like to see us do, email us to us at friendlycompetitionpodcast@gmail.com.
As always, shout out to Charizard for that intro music. You want to hear more of their stuff and over to Bandcamp, type in Charizard, replace the vowels with sixes. That is going to be it for us, folks. We've got a new episode coming out on Wednesday. But until then, I've been Nick Carey.
And I'm Cody Lena. See you on the boat.